Hello and welcome back to episode 2 of 414 Footy. I'm Jack Goods, joined as always by Sebastian Becerra.
Hey, it's good to be back.
In episode 1, we went over the club, this team, the stadium, everything about Milwaukee Pro Soccer. Today, we're going to talk a bit more about the league and what fans should expect when they head down to the Iron District, hopefully next year in 2026. But first, Sebastian, we have a bit of an update. It's directly tied to what we talked about in episode 1, and it comes courtesy of Rob Chappell over at Talkin' Flock, the what I consider the preeminent Forward Madison podcast. And if you don't follow us on Twitter, you might have missed that I actually was a guest on the show a few weeks back to talk about Milwaukee Pro Soccer, which was a great conversation. But in Rob's latest episode, he sat down with Big Top Sports COO and Milwaukee Pro Soccer COO, Connor Kaloya, who shared some info on the latest on the stadium. Sebastian, you're, I think, reading it a bit more optimistically than I am. Basically, he reiterated what we've heard last, which is the hope is they will break ground this year.
Yeah. And that's all of our hopes, right? We want to see this stadium come to life this year if their plan is still to start the team next March for the 2026 USL season. It was great hearing from Connor. Haven't heard from him in a bit on any media, but it was great hearing from him on Talking Flock, talk about that plan, which is to still break ground this year. Maybe not as early as this summer as some of the other sources that we read had indicated. Another thing that I found interesting was he made a very direct statement, basically saying that they will not play in a temporary stadium. The Milwaukee Pro Soccer team will not play in a temporary stadium. They will play once the stadium gets finished and is ready to go. So I know we had discussed last podcast about some alternatives. Well, a temporary stadium or a different stadium is not one of them, which is news, but and it makes sense. We want this championship side to play in their own stadium in downtown Milwaukee.
Yeah, and the last we heard on a concrete level from media throughout Milwaukee was a land deal had gone through that was really the last step towards breaking ground this summer. And it was framed in a way that sounded very much like that was in motion. I think Connor was kind of careful in his language in saying that is still the hope, but did add in the caveat that construction prices continue to rise. And that is something that they're dealing with. It ties back to something we talked about in episode 1, where the funding, I think, is the real holdup here and making sure they have it all together. This is mostly privately funded outside of the government funding that they did receive from the state of Wisconsin. They don't want to commit to anything until they know for sure that they are telling us the truth.
And the more and more I've thought about this as the weeks have gone on here and we're approaching the summer, is that I am okay with this approach. I am okay with the leadership of Milwaukee Pro Soccer being a little tight to their chest with the information that they have and the plan moving forward, because I'd rather them do that than make all these promises and then not be able to hit them and then it be delayed further and further. So I do like... As far as we've come along this road, I do like where we're at now, and it's that this team is not going to play until the stadium's ready.
Yeah, so no Hart Park, no Valley Fields. That first match will be, unless it's on the road, I guess, the first home match will be at the Iron District.
Exactly.
It's just a matter of waiting for that ground to be broken at this point. And when exactly that is, they'll let us know when they know.
One more thing from that interview with Connor on Talking Flock was he said that they have plans in place to, when the ground is broken on the stadium, they're going to fast track it and get that place up and running as quickly and I'm sure as safely as possible to have the team ready to go once it's ready, once the stadium's ready. So there is plans in place here, which makes me feel good about the team. That they are looking forward, And once the ground is broken, fast tracking construction. Let's get this going again as safely as you can with a building project, construction project like this. Get the team assembled, sign some players, and boom, you got the Milwaukee Pro Soccer team.
maybe work on some of the amenities or more of a work in progress in that first match. And by the end of the season, it's all put together. You know, I'm sure there is a way to do this in a layered approach that is not disruptive to the game day experience if everything is
absolutely
100% there right away. But I'm sure we'll hear more in the coming year as we get closer to when they say, and when we all hope, is that first match in 2026.
Yeah.
But when that does come, what should fans expect? What is the USL? We touched on it a little bit in episode one. I think the thing I want to start with, my number one point on entering this as a new fan, is understanding that this is not a minor league in the traditional sense of the word. So there's some familiarity with American sports fans with having levels to sports. You know, you have
baseball.
Yeah.
Basketball has the G League. Baseball has the minor leagues. Yeah. There's some level of understanding there. And this is not that.
Yeah, obviously, Major League Soccer is the most well-known league in the United States. There are second teams for MLS teams. They play in a different league. So all of these teams are independent. They are acting on their own accord. The players won't get called up. They might get sold if they play really well and there's an opportunity. But this is the club, and I think that's kind of a cool thing about soccer, where you have that different level and you can really own it.
Right, right. Because we have Major League Soccer doing their own thing and doing it well. And then we have the USL, broken up currently into three divisions. We have the Championship, which is the second division of professional soccer in the United States, but the USL's first division as it stands. We have League One, which is the second division, also professional. And then we have USL 2, which is semi-professional with almost 150 teams across the entire United States. And that's kind of the structure that we see now. It might change in the future, but it is that set structure.
I think the Welcome to Wrexham has done a really good job in introducing the American sports fan to the concept of a soccer pyramid, where there are different levels, different divisions. The U.S. does have that, and those are determined by various factors. Stadium size, market size help determine that. USL Championship is the second division, so it is right below MLS. But like we said, no real connection there right now.
And that's where the Milwaukee Pro Soccer team is slated to play when they join the USL.
But the league has made two pretty major announcements in the last few months, starting off with the creation of a new level. The USL would like to have their own Division I league, so theoretically on the same par as MLS, though I don't think anyone expects they would be competing really directly with the MLS. There isn't the same funding there at this point, the same infrastructure, but there's nothing that says that you can't have two Division I leagues, especially in a country of the size of the U.S. It is unusual in the global game.
And the biggest difference that's going to come here in the next couple of years is also the announcement of promotion relegation in the USL, which was made a couple of months back. They voted yes to have a promotion relegation system in the USL.
These two announcements are directly tied, and this Pro Rel system won't go into place unless they do get this Division I approval, which will take some working with U.S. Soccer, because at this point, a lot of even the main USL championship teams, there are not a ton of them that meet those qualifications that I mentioned earlier, especially when it comes to stadium size. Market size is not an issue. Milwaukee actually fits into that Division I market size category, but there are some other hangups. It seems like there's a good working relationship between the two sides. So I imagine, given all of this fanfare, they have a pretty good idea that this is going to go through. But I think the Pro Rel is, if you're wondering, besides the fact that there is a team in your city, why should I get into USL over watching MLS? I think this is the real differentiating factor. And I think that that's what the USL is banking on. This is never seen in sports in North America, let alone soccer in North America.
No.
I probably should explain it slightly for those who aren't as familiar with Pro Rel. There is movement between these levels of the league. If you are the worst team in the Premier League, or one of the worst, there's a few of them that go down each year, you get sent to the level below.
Yeah.
And the top teams in the level below come up to the Premier League.
It's great competitive balance.
It adds some stakes at the end of the season for those teams at the bottom. So there are two races you've got going on simultaneously for a championship and to stay in the league. And when you're talking about, you know, something like the Premier League, there is a lot financially on the line.
Yes.
It can financially ruin a club if they fall down too far in the pyramid.
The money is in the Premier League. The money is vastly, vastly way more than in the championship.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the difference, and I actually think that is part of the reason why they think that this is feasible at this state in the U.S. is that you don't have that extreme level of difference between these leagues where one of these clubs would be in trouble if this happened, because this is, you know, a bit of an experiment.
But what I like is every game is going to matter because of that threat of relegation or promotion, or that opportunity to get promoted to the first division. Every game matters, regular season. Obviously, they'll have the Open Cup games as well for a shot at that trophy, which is the longest running competition, I think, in soccer history in the U.S., which is exciting and always fun to reference, a great domestic cup. But it adds excitement to that. Every game, packed house, maybe develop some rivalries, and obviously the monetary incentives. You know, could happen here with getting promoted, really adds a little bit more stakes in the game, right?
It's important to note through all of this Pro Rel, this is a close system, and it would be between the three pro levels that the USL would have. So USL Championship, USL League One, and this new top USL Premier League. It still won't include the MLS. Yeah. It's important to note.
Yeah, no, and that's a great point. I had hoped, as soon as it was announced, I had hoped the MLS would have some involvement, but that hope quickly was diminished when they immediately were like, we have nothing to do with the USL, and the USL has nothing to do with the MLS, which is okay, which is actually probably better for the established fan bases as well.
Yeah, maybe someday. You know, there's every once in a while someone talks about a merger, but I think whenever they're talking about that, they're talking about 20 years down the road, not 5 years down the road. But it does allow the USL to be a sort of testing ground for this. And
I love it.
If it works really well, I mean, I think the MLS should be interested. You know, those owners buy in at a pretty high level, and I think really do want to protect their asset. But if it takes the US soccer to the next level, it benefits everybody.
Yeah, everybody eats, right? And the MLS is where the most money is already. So we could potentially see that in the future.
A lot of these details are still being worked out. The idea is that there will be 12 to 14 teams in this new first division made up of some existing clubs, and there is still a potential for some of the expansion clubs, so potentially Milwaukee, though I have not heard any
word of that. There has been no words or news, or I don't know if there's been even discussions of Milwaukee being anywhere close to Division One in USL. I think the team needs to be created first, and then we can look to see what we can do from that front. But no, go ahead, Jack. Yeah, the Division One.
It meets a lot of the qualifications for Division One, which is you have to have 75% of the teams playing in a metropolitan market of at least 1 million people. So that's a check for Milwaukee. All league stadiums must be enclosed with a minimum seating capacity of 15,000. Now, this is the biggest hang up. In Milwaukee, the Iron District will not fit that. But most of these teams do not have that. So
the hope is they'll soften the regulations on stadium capacity.
They also need 12 teams, like I said, across Eastern, Central, and Pacific time zones. And
won't be a problem.
Yeah, that won't be a problem based on their options. Milwaukee would help check off that Central. There are a handful of teams that would do that as well. The USL also has the broadcast deal in place that would be necessary for this. And
yeah, they're currently broadcast, I believe, on CBS Sports and ESPN Plus.
Yep. 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 And you know what, you and I both watched a game earlier this year on CBS that actually set the record for a regular season viewership.
Phoenix Rising against San Antonio.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think over 450,000 viewers, which was awesome. That was in the midst of, you know, competing against pretty big time basketball.
Yeah. So if you're listening to this and you're wondering if there's buy-in for this league and for these teams and for this competition, there is. There's already, you know, games being broadcast on, you know, CBS, cable, you know, not just CBS Sports, not Paramount, but cable. A lot of viewership, a lot of fans for those two sides and for a lot of the USL sides. So we are in a very pivotal moment for soccer in the U.S. And it's this announcement of promotion relegation. It's this announcement of a Division I status for the USL and just the excitement that it draws to these different fan bases.
The plan is for ProRel for 2027-28. So when Milwaukee enters, we'll still be in the current iteration of the build.
We hope.
Yeah. Yeah. We hope.
If they enter in 2026, yeah. Which is what the plan is, that's very true.
So right now the USL Championship is 24 teams with more set to come. There's a pretty long list that Milwaukee is a part of on these expansion teams. You talk about Brooklyn, Jacksonville, Santa Barbara, Rogers, Arkansas, my hometown at Buffalo, New York, Des Moines, Palm Beach, and the suburbs of Dallas. Your hometown. So
yeah.
They just released their branding recently. Atletico Dallas. Looks pretty cool.
Atletico Dallas.
Yeah, I'm gonna show you that.
Of course. Of course they did Atletico. That's a very popular name, especially in Spain.
Yeah, they love those European ties, you know, the Real Salt Lakes of the world.
FC Dallas, Inter Miami.
Yeah, you get a few of those.
I am excited, though. Maybe we can start some kind of rivalry between the Buffalo team and the Milwaukee team.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'll be splitting allegiances. They just announced their new stadium recently.
Now they're going to the championship.
Yeah.
Okay. So same league. So the assumption is they're going to play against each other.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be pretty interesting. And maybe I can see both teams play against each other in both places. I'm excited about
Road
that.
Trip.
Road trip.
Road trip coming, Jack.
The teams that are currently there are some real major league cities. I mean, Milwaukee's not going to be alone in being a city with other major pro sports in it. Phoenix and San Antonio, we mentioned already on the broadcast, but you can talk about Pittsburgh, Tampa Bay, Detroit, Indianapolis, Vegas, Miami.
These are major markets.
Sacramento, yeah. Oakland. I mean,
Oakland needs something else. Poor Oakland. They've been at the worst end of the stick the last couple of years with their franchises, their pro sports teams leaving. Mm-hmm. So we got to reinvigorate that area. Those are some diehard fans in Oakland.
Yeah, it's actually, I think that they've tapped into that because they've been playing this year at the Coliseum, which is super cool. And they're averaging like 13,000 people. And so there is really
13,000 people.
Yeah.
That's more people that they averaged all last year or a couple of years ago in baseball, whenever they were playing baseball games there with the A's.
It shows what fans feeling like they actually are cared for can do for attendance, you know?
Yeah.
The A's fans were rightfully angry and I wouldn't have gone either. It's a league that fills those markets that want to be involved in soccer in a time when the sport is booming in the U.S. And you know, if you don't have an MLS team, this is a big country. You might not be anywhere near an MLS team. And if there wasn't this offering, this wouldn't be accessible to you. So I think the cool thing about this league and at all levels is these are really community clubs, and there's a real connection there that I think is the heartbeat. We've seen that in Madison locally, that these teams tie themselves to their communities. These players live in these communities. For Madison games, they go and they hang out at the sports bar by the stadium after the games. Like there's something to this that you're not going to get it with the Bucks or the Brewers here. It's just a different experience.
It is. I can't wait to get my first jersey, buy my first hat, merchandise for the Milwaukee Pro Soccer team. But this has been great, Jack. Just chit-chatting about the USL format and kind of the ProRel, which adds a new twist to the soccer landscape in the U.S. And that's that's not an understatement. I mean, it is going to, I feel like, reinvigorate soccer fans and create a growth system within soccer in the U.S. where players can go from the academies to, you know, maybe USL to the championship and then the Division I in USL. Or if they want, they can go to the MLS if they like that league better, right? It's the players really can choose which league format and what kind of league they want to play in.
And importantly, you're getting a lot of people playing too. Yeah. There are just a lot more opportunities.
More opportunities for players to play professional, which sometimes, you know, it's tough to break into the sport to begin with as a professional, but this does create more opportunities in that way as well.
Yeah, I'm excited. Just, I touched on this a bit when I was on Talking Flock. I think the cool thing about this new structure is there's so much more differentiation between the matchups. We could end up playing Madison here in Milwaukee. Those teams could be in the same league at some point.
Yeah.
You're not limited to the same 20 teams that you would be, you know, in another sport or like in MLS now. You know you're playing. There are other competitions, but you're playing the same sort of same group for the most part over and over again. Yeah. Now, there's a huge group that we could get to see here at the Iron District.
Yeah, and I can envision a very fierce, friendly rivalry developing between Forward Madison and the Milwaukee Pro Soccer team as well.
Well, we will await more news, but there are still plenty more topics to discuss, plenty more things that we should know about and fans should know about before this team launches next year. So, like, thank you for listening to us again, coming back for episode 2. Follow us on social. And if you know someone else who might be interested, who's getting excited about this team launching, let them know. I think we really want to build a community here. So we're all kind of tight-knit by the time this thing gets rolling.
Absolutely. 414 Footy on all socials.
We'll see you next time.